Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Listener Leah considers him the one that got away. Is the universe, is it possible we can bring the two together? Hey, Leah.
Hi.
Good morning. Okay, tell us who this dude is and why you needed our help.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so a little bit of setup. So I'm 29, and 10 years ago, when I was 19, I was in love with my high school sweetheart. And he was my first everything, you know, like first kiss, first heartbreak. He was really the first person who ever saw me, you know. And then we broke up because he moved across the country for college. So, like, it wasn't messy. It was just, you know, unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but before he left, he gave me a letter, a sealed letter. And he was like, open this when you're ready to move on, but not before. So, you know, I held on to it. And then, like, I never opened it.
Girl, how could you not open it right there on the spot? I'd be like, I'm ready to move on. Open.
That takes some strength right there.
I would open it for sure.
Yeah, no, I wasn't ready. I was like, okay. He said to wait. And I was like, okay, I'll wait. And I put it away. And then, you know, life happened. Life moved on. And, you know, I did date other people. I got a job. I changed cities. And somehow, like, every serious relationship that I tried out just kind of fizzled out, and I couldn't explain why. And, you know, here we are a decade later, and I was at my parents' house cleaning out my childhood bedroom, and I found it, and I read it. And it just took me straight back to that moment. It was like I was 19 again, and... yeah, I'm realizing I never let myself move forward and, like, really feel the ending, you know, like there's no closure. And so, yeah, I'm reaching out to you guys because I'm hoping you can find him. And I don't know, like, just see what's up.
Now, we asked you to have the letter ready, Leah, because we got to hear this letter that took you back in time, that transported you back to 19 years of age and has you reaching out to us to check on him to see if there is any potential of you guys reconnecting.
Yeah, I have it.
Well, we're not going to wait 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll read it. Here it is. Leah. You were my first everything, my first real love, my first date, my first kiss. We've grown up together, helping each other through hard days and laughing way more than anyone probably thought two teenagers could. Being with you has been one of the greatest gifts of my life so far. That's what makes this so hard. As we both head off in different directions for college, I know we've talked about how distance and time can change things. And maybe this is the moment we have to let go, at least for now, so we can figure out who we are. I hope college gives you everything you dream of. I hope you fall in love with new things, meet people who make you think, and become even more of the strong, smart, beautiful person I already know you are. And I hope you think of me sometimes. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that I'll always care about you. And maybe after we've both had the time to grow and chase our dreams, we'll find our way back to each other. Maybe we're not over. Maybe we're just on pause. So this isn't a goodbye. It's a see you later. And no matter what, a part of me will always love you. With all my heart, Lincoln.
This dude was 19 at the time he wrote that?
Yeah, come on, Shakespeare.
You weren't supposed to let him go.
I know, right?
Hey,
you really messed up. Now the insight he has for a 19-year-old. I'm starting to see this a little bit with a lot of my son's friends also.
They can be romantic.
That are in relationships. That can be romantic, yeah. But they're going to be going to different colleges.
Yeah.
And they're now starting to wonder, like, should we break this thing off now? Or should we try it when we go to college? And all I want to say to Hollis is, like, here's how it's going to go down, dude. They're going to try it, and then they're going to break up in a month.
I think they call it the turkey drop. Like, everyone breaks up around Thanksgiving because they're like, yeah, we did 3 months of this, and right. Yeah, this ain't working.
All right, so you wanted our help to reach out to him, and you had questions for him. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so Leah gave us what information she had about Lincoln, and everybody's on social media now. It was not hard to track Lincoln down and get his information and send him an email. So I was the one that did the corresponding with Lincoln. And the questions that Leah and I put together for him to see if, you know, obviously she doesn't want to get her heart broken again. And so she does want to reach out, but she obviously, you know, what Leah and I talked about, like, she wants to make sure that there's an opening, like, you know, the door is unlocked and even cracked mm-hmm. open. It'd be nice if it was all the way open so she can just walk through it. So the questions that I went back and forth with Lincoln were, are you currently dating anyone? Is there someone from your past that you think of? If the answer to number two was yes, what is keeping you from reaching out? Are you comfortable disclosing the name of the person from your past that you still think about?
Okay. Ooh-wee. So those were sent, and you got answers back.
I did. He and I went back and forth corresponding.
And Leah, you don't know those answers just yet, correct?
I don't.
Okay. She's being a good radio soldier right now.
You are.
Now.
You're going to have to wait just a couple of minutes, all right? So when we come back, Kristen will read you the letter and all of the answers that this dude from way back in the day, the one that got away, how he answered them, okay?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
We'll talk to you in a second. Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Waitlist by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, the Burt Show.
She considers him now maybe the one that got away when they were 19 years old. They were dating, but they were going off to college, you know? So he writes her this letter that basically says, look, I love you, but college time. Maybe sometime in the future, we'll get back together. And he wrote this really romantic, like, goodbye letter at 19. It was filled with love. Like, this should have been written by a 42-year-old man.
Oddly, it reminds me of these letters I used to get from Joe Mike. Back in the day.
And Joe Mike.
He was the same way. He went off to the University of Dayton. He was a kicker for the football team.
Oh, yeah?
And used to write me the most beautiful love letters.
So
we obviously didn't work out.
Not yet.
He wrote one for Leah, and she has held on to it and held on to it and held on to it, shared it with us a couple of minutes ago. Kristen got a hold of it and wanted to reach out to this guy that got away.
So Leah and I have been communicating, and she gave us Lincoln's information. He's obviously, it's really easy to find people courtesy of social media. So we were able to find him, no problem. And then he and I had some email correspondence back and forth. So instead of doing what we typically do, sending him all the questions at once, he and I just kind of like batted back and forth, because if he answered the first question, yes, which was, are you currently dating anybody? There really was not a whole lot to proceed with. All right. So Leah and I, we conversed. We came up with the questions that we wanted to ask. And then she gave me the go ahead and I reached out to Lincoln. So Leah, I need you to prepare yourself. Are you ready to hear what your past love had to say?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Did we establish how old you are now?
It's been 10 years.
10 years. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, 29.
All right. So here we go. The very first email I shot off to Lincoln, I explained, you know, somebody from his past was curious about his present, but before this person potentially made contact, they had a few questions they hoped that he would answer, and then he and I started going back and forth. So my first email, are you currently dating anyone? He responded back and said, no. I got divorced in 2022. I've had a few dates here and there, but nothing serious.
Door is open.
Yes. Well, it's unlocked.
It's unlocked.
And so then we followed up with, is there someone from your past that you think of? If so, how often? And he was not as eloquent as he was in his love letter. He's pretty short and sweet with these answers, probably because he doesn't know me from Adam. But right. He said, yes, and it's more often than I'd like to admit.
Wow.
Mm.
So now we got a crack.
It's a crack.
It's a crack. That door needs grease. So then I hit him back. If the answer to number two was yes, what is keeping you from reaching out? And then I think this is when he tapped back into his like romantic self. So Leah, he responded, she was such a wonderful person. I've assumed she's found someone that loves her the way she deserves to be loved, and I don't want to interfere with that.
Aww.
Oh, wow, he still got it.
He does.
Mm-hmm. He needs to Facebook stalk a little harder.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I followed up because we were going for the gusto now. I'm like, are you comfortable disclosing the name of the person from your past that you still think about? Because, hello, if he says Leah, like, let's just go ahead and wrap this up. And I had a kid with a giant bump on his head, and I really needed to be like a mother at some point in time. And he responded, I prefer not to. I mean, I'm already a little wary disclosing what I have to you, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a stranger from a radio show asking you these questions. But I wasn't going to give up, Leah. And then this is where I need your assistance, and I need you to listen, and I need you to listen hard, okay?
Okay. Okay.
So then I responded, okay, can you at least give me a subtle hint as to who it might be? And if the same person is thinking about you, then she can reach out. So the hint that he gave me, Leah, was short and sweet, and it was blue icy in my Honda Accord.
What?
Does blue icy in my Honda Accord mean anything to you?
Yes, it does. Yes, I spilled my blue Izzy, my entire blue Izzy, in his car in high school when he was leaving it for our first kiss.
Oh, wow.
So, this is his way of telling you exactly who it is. It's you. It's you.
It's you.
It's you, woman.
That door wide open.
Damn it. No, we knocked it down.
Kicked it through.
Like Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah.
All right, so now this is in your hands.
It is, Leah.
Clearly, he is thinking about you, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, girl, I've done my work. Now we have his information, and I would encourage you to reach out to him today.
Yes, okay.
I don't know why you're still on with us.
Yeah, right.
Get to work.
Now, if you reach out to him today, you must call us back tomorrow and check in with us and tell us everything that happened.
I will, yeah.
She is giddy.
Yeah, you
are.
Giddy. All right. It won't be a couple of minutes before you're hitting him up. Let's talk to you tomorrow and get a follow-up, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Put you on hold here real sec. So you didn't tell her, like, he sent a follow-up email that said, please tell me it's anybody but that skank, Leah.
Oh, my God. He did not. What's wrong with you?
Hey, The Bird Show.
We might have similar storylines going on here with the love that got away.
Not even close.
A couple of minutes ago, it was Leah and Lincoln, and now it's Abby and a man named Jesus.
That is the most dubious opening you could have given this. How dare you compare my religious trauma to Leah?
I mean, you guys
reuniting with the love of her life after 10 years.
You had a beautiful relationship with Jesus, then you ghosted him for 2 years, and now you're back knocking on the door, and you're afraid Jesus is not going to answer.
Jesus, where are you?
I see the similarities.
Got someone that got away. I'm so deeply uncomfortable with this. This is the rest of my life and for all eternity. This is not just some boy toy I dated in high school. Although some people do like to use the term date Jesus, which I've always found to be very uncomfortable and weird. They do? Yeah. Oh, my God. You know how many sermons I've listened to where people are like, just enjoy being single, date Jesus. And I'm like, no, thanks.
Well,
let's not do that.
You haven't been swiping right on Jesus for a while.
We really need to. People were mad that I was talking about my dating life too much. So they're talk about something else. So here I am trying to talk about something else. So let's talk about my relationship with Christianity, which is in a tumultuous spot. I have a weird time describing my relationship with Christianity because it is weird to be like, I was a Christian, but I'm like, am I? Do I consider it a past tense or am I a Christian that's just doubting? I don't really know where I'm at, but kind of the long story short about my history with religion is that I was a Bible thumper for my whole life. And I think just as I've gotten older and I've just started critical thinking more, it just makes less sense to me. And I'm starting to second guess things in my life that I attributed to Christianity. And I've just decided that, you know, I'm going to start from a clean slate and try and go from here.
What is your definition of Bible thumping for yourself? What did it look like?
I was super, super involved in the church. I mean, we were talking yesterday on the Personality Hires podcast about like our stereotypes in high school. And I was like, God, I don't really know what my stereotype was. And I can't remember who on the podcast said it, but they were like, were you a part of the God Squad? And I was like, oh my God, I was a part of the God Squad. Like I was a youth group leader and I went to church every Sunday and I went to youth group on Wednesday. And it was
Bible
just
vacation study or vacation Bible study.
Vacation Bible school. You know, my first concert was a Chris Tomlin concert. You know what I mean? Like I just kind of was living that life to the fullest because that's just kind of how I live my life in most ways. Like I'm either all in or I'm all out. And when it comes to the thing that, you know, is supposed to dictate your whole life, I was pretty all in on that. I'd say that. And then I think as I just got older and I've just reconsidered a lot of things in my life, I just kind of am like, I don't know if this thing that I've believed in my entire life is something that I actually believe, because I've never really had the opportunity to find it for myself because I've just been so deeply entrenched in it my entire life.
Were those things you were thinking before you moved to Atlanta, or was it as soon as you moved to Atlanta?
I think moving to Atlanta allowed me to have space because I was still so involved in the church in Jacksonville. I was a youth group leader for a group of high school girls, which I loved doing. But there is a pressure when you're in a leadership role that it's not that you don't have the space to doubt, but kind of leaving the church isn't an option because you have a responsibility to these girls. And by all means, like if I wanted to leave that position, I absolutely could have. But when you love getting to do that every week and you still feel like your community is also rooted in the church, it's not something that you can just kind of snap your fingers and say, okay, I'm going to give this a break. So I think when I moved to Atlanta and I was kind of waffling as to whether or not I had if I had faith or not. I think it gave me the space to be able to quite literally ignore it for 2 years. And I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of like, I should probably think about this a little bit more rather than just like shoving it down because it causes me anxiety. So I decided that because I've kind of ignored my faith for 2 years, and even though I say ignore, I think about it all the time. I think about it every day. I don't think there's ever a moment in the day where I'm not thinking about it, but it's never like fully formed thoughts. It's just kind of always there because I think when it's such a part of your life for so long and it dictates decisions and who you've become your entire life, it is so hard to separate who you are versus like the decisions that you feel like you've made because of this religion or this moral compass that you've had. Like in my mind, I feel like I'm always sort of cluing God in, even if I don't really believe that God is there. So I thought, if I haven't directly talked to God in 2 years, if I want him to answer, I should probably say hello. So I went to
get his number.
I went to CVS. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you bring that up. I went to CVS the other day and I put this off until last night because even though I pitched this story for this week, I was like, I don't want to do this. This is a lot of emotional labor I don't really know if I'm prepared for. And I wrote this like three-page letter, which I mean, I have massive like kindergarten handwriting, so I'm not really sure if that even means that much. And I just started doing this written down word vomit of just kind of like, I don't even know how to begin. Like, I don't even, like, hi, hello. Am I talking to you in first person? Do I talk about you, you being God? It felt a little bit like I was sort of avoiding it in my head. Like I was writing out a text, but not planning on pressing send, if that makes sense. And so I'm like talking to God in third person, like talking about God. But I'm like, no, I need to be talking to God. Like if I want him to answer, I need to press send. I need to talk to him. So then the tone of my letter kind of goes from like talking about him in third person to like talking to him and then back to third person. Cause I was like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. And
how do you think he felt?
Probably big.
First of all, he can't even read your handwriting.
Probably big bad. Well, he gave me this handwriting.
That's a fact, right?
That's
a good comeback.
That's one thing I can't get surgery for, so think about that. Yeah, I mean, God's probably big mad. He's like, my son literally died for you, and you're just kind of like,
You left him on rage.
That's some guilt. There it is.
Yeah, there's that religious trauma that's coming through. And yeah, I just kind of started the conversation and just...
Were you mad at him? Were you inquisitive? Were you like, what was the overall tone, if you can put it into words, as you were communicating with him?
That handwriting says you were angry.
Stop, that's mean. I would say inquisitive more than anything. Okay. And it was weird because I don't think I've sat down to have like a full prayer, like sit down and be like, hey God, this is what's going on, in a long time. And I wrote in this letter, I was kind of like, I don't know, it's weird for me to journal and not pray, because that's what I used to do. I would pray and then I'd do my little journal thing. And I'm kind of like, oh, it feels like I haven't really dialed the number yet. I feel like I need to like pray. That's like how you pick up the phone to God. And so then I prayed, and it is weird how it cleared my mind. Like I felt like I had all these voices in my head, like this loud chatter. And then all of a sudden I like prayed. I'm like, oh, I feel like all these thoughts that have been in my mind and kind of circling around for a while, I'm like, they're kind of cleared out. And then I just put pen to paper and just started going off and just questioning why I've spent so long not exploring my faith. And I kind of didn't really, I mean, it wasn't necessarily anything profound. I didn't really come to any conclusions, but I just decided to make the request at every end of every letter and just say, I'm going to ask every day if you are real. And if you are, can you say hi or something? Mm-hmm. Like, can you just, you know, reveal yourself to me in a way that will make sense? Mm-hmm. And who knows? And that's a scary.
Oh, there it is. Nobody even hit that.
Oh my God.
It came out of the computer all by itself.
Listen, the way Abby jumped out of her skin just now.
He's married to like the right hand of Jesus. So if God was ever going to use someone for a vessel, it'd be Tommy.
I'm really curious, Abby. So what would a sign be that you were looking for? Because I think that there are signs around us every single day that we're just not taking as the gifts that God has given us. You being here, you waking up, those are gifts. Like, you doing this job, which I think is really pretty cool. You traveling. Those are all gifts that I believe God has given you. So what is the sign that you're looking for that will say, oh, okay, dude is for sure real?
Well, that's your interpretation that it's a gift. Right. And so I think that 5 years ago, I would have felt the same way. And there's parts of me that feel absolutely the same way too. But I think just thinking about it from like a logical standpoint, you can interpret it as a gift, but I can also interpret it as, you know, life. You know what I mean? Like, who's this? Like, why do I get this gift? But there are people starving across the world. Like, is God not giving them gifts? You know what I mean? Mm. It's tough for me to use that logic and not see everybody kind of the same way.
And I don't think you can answer that question. I think for, you know, to like, so what is, you shouldn't put expectations on the sign. I believe it's like one of those, you'll know when you know, but you can't put an expectation on it because Lord knows that expectations often don't get met.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know for me, when I asked for God to speak to me, it didn't come in the form of anything that I could possibly have expected or even thought would happen. But I do think that the universe, God, however you want to phrase it, has a way of getting to you where only you will know that was for me.
So that's why I asked the question. And that's a pretty scary existential question to ask. Be like, hey, you know, this whole creation thing, be kind of cool to know if this was real or not. So if you want to just give me a heads up, God, I'll be here for the next 39 days.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Bert. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Going to give the parent warning here because we're going to get into some more adult and graphic content because we are talking about Cassie Ventura's testimony at the trial yesterday for Diddy's case. And we're going to be covering this pretty much for the next, 10 weeks it's going to be going on. So Cassie Ventura dated Diddy for about 11 years. She met him when she was 19 and then finally left in the late 2010s. And so she took the stand yesterday. And I think most people were most interested in hearing what she was going to have to say about that footage that came out from her pretty recently, where she was attacked by Diddy in a hallway. It's absolutely harrowing, harrowing footage. But she took the stand yesterday for her testimony for 6 hours. It was harrowing, harrowing to hear from what I've heard.
And 8 months pregnant doing that.
8.5 months pregnant. Like, homegirl is ready to, like, pop. So she talked in detail about how controlling Diddy was during their relationship, like, full-on manipulation. She said that he would choose her clothes, he would dictate how she wore her hair, and even tell her when she could post on social media. allegedly. He isolated her from her friends and family by limiting her phone and computer access. He would literally lock her devices away so she couldn't reach out to anyone. She would speak about, she spoke about the events he forced her to participate in, which at this point we all know are called freak-offs. She says that they were drug-fueled sex parties where she was made to have sex with male prostitutes, and then Diddy would either watch them or film them. Sometimes, she said, he would give her ecstasy or other drugs beforehand, and she would be too out of it from taking those drugs or the alcohol to resist. She even recalled one particular time in Miami when he hired two male escorts and made her have sex with both of them while he filmed it. She said afterwards, she felt disgusting and like a pawn. And also, one of the things that pressured her into staying is because a lot of times these freak-off parties would be recorded. She felt like these would be blackmail materials that he would use against her. So if she tried to leave, she felt like he would release those as a way to humiliate her and even take her career away. So she said for years she lived in fear that he would release them. He had obviously a lot of resources to do that. And then she also described the violent incident at the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles back in 2016. Again, this is the one that was caught on footage. She said she tried to leave him during one of the freak-offs, and then, of course, he attacked her and was very physically violent with her, and only stopped when hotel staff showed up. There was also another moment, very, very disturbing, where Diddy allegedly made her carry a loaded gun while they drove to confront Suge Knight at his studio. She said that she was terrified and had no idea if he planned to use it or just wanted to intimidate people. She said she felt trapped, scared, and couldn't leave because of how much he controlled her life and career.
Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to come at her and be like, 11 years, at no point in time you thought you could leave after 11 years. But I think those are people who don't understand the complexities of a domestic violence relationship. And it's not as easy as you think it would be to walk away.
The opening statement from Sean Combs' defense attorney, honestly, like, as someone who talks a lot to women who deal with intimate partner violence on my podcast, it felt ignorant. I was like, I can't believe a grown adult is saying something like this, because the statement that was said at the opening, the opening statement at the court case said she made a choice every single day for years, a choice to stay with him being Sean Diddy Combs, a choice to fight for him because for 11 years, that was the better choice. She communicated it to him and then ran into the arms of another man, a physical trainer Combs had hired to train her. I'm like,
that's how he started cross-examination?
That was the opening statement. And it's basically just like, well, I mean, it's your fault you stayed in this relationship. But if you know anything about these relationships where there's manipulation and control, like, it's not, you can't just leave. Like, it's not as easy as just walking out, especially when you feel like you're not going to have a future afterwards because of how he may retaliate.
There was a few things that were interesting to me about the trial so far. One was the fact that it's the first time, I think they said, in 6.5 years that Cassie and Diddy were in the same room together. That was interesting to me. I know the decision was made to keep Cassie's current husband out of the courtroom throughout her testimony, which I obviously think was a lot better for him, because I don't know how he would sit through hearing all of these things. That would be insane. And the defense is obviously making a play toward making everything seem consensual, right? Where they made Cassie speak to having text messages of her saying that she was excited about the freak-offs. So it's pretty clear the angle of the defense. At some point, for me, the prosecution is going to have to connect Diddy to the charges, right? Because Diddy is not on trial for being a monster. If he was, I think the book would be closed. We all believe that. But at some point, the prosecution has to actually attach the charges to what Diddy is doing. And so far, they haven't done that. So it's going to be interesting to me to see when they actually do.
What are the charges?
Racketeering, transportation with prostitution, and sex trafficking.
So I think right now, what the prosecution is doing is establishing, defining his character.
Character, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And using Cassie to do that as to the type. So first you have to establish what type of person it is and get people to believe, oh, then this person is very likely to have done XYZ. And then that's when you bring in the evidence of XYZ.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's definitely a monster. Like, that part, they got clear. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they connect the actual charges to him. Yeah. Lifestyle.
It's obviously taken a huge toll on him too, because a lot of people have spoken about how different he looks, how much weight he's lost, how his hair is getting gray.
Yeah, that'll happen in jail.
I don't think it's an easy place to be, especially up in New York.
Yeah, from the outside looking in, it looks like a pretty stressful place.
All right, for more stories, head to the Bird Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Hey, the Bird Show.
My dude is stuck between his pride and his ex, and he has to make a choice that's going to affect us all. And I don't know what to tell them to do.
Okay.
It's going to affect us all. We're involved in it.
Well, no, not y'all.
Leave me out of this.
Me and my crew. So I came to y'all a while back. I don't know if you remember. And me and my friend were having a conflict because we were at a point in life when we needed what's called an EPK, which is an electronic press kit for those who may not know. It's like a digital resume of something that you're trying to sell, usually a show or something of that sort. And so we were trying to find a way or find someone that could build one for us. And he was dating someone at the time who happened to be what she does. Mm. She makes EPKs. And so she came to us and was like, you know, I heard you guys looking for an EPK. Now, at this point, they were dating and they were probably, I would say, 6 or 7 months in. It seemed to be going in the direction of getting serious. And so when she came to us and asked if we needed an EPK, my first thought was, well, how much is it going to run us? And he said, which I was expecting his response to be, it's not going to run us anything. That's my girl. Like, he was calling his girl at that time.
Because he professionally was doing stuff for her for free also, right? If I remember correctly.
That is correct. He is a DJ. So she had an event a few weeks before that she asked him to DJ for, and he did it. And normally, obviously, he would charge for his services, but the fact that they're dating, he didn't charge her, which to me was, that's like the norm. Mm-hmm. I would never charge a woman I'm dating for my services. But she had other plans and other ideas because when he went back and asked her, yeah, you know, Mo brought up, are you going to charge us for this? She was like, we'll talk about the details later. Mm-hmm. Now, my mind said, no, we need to talk about those details now, mm-hmm. because before you do the service, I'd like to know what it's going to cost me. She made it seem as if she wasn't really going to charge him. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. So she makes the EPK, and it's really good. She did a great job on it, in which I felt like we probably should have tipped her regardless if she didn't charge us. But she chose to charge us. Now, I don't know what people normally would charge for an EPK. I looked it up, and it's a very wide range. It's all over the place. But she charged in total about $2,100.
Wow.
And she said it was, I think it took her 6 to 8 hours. So she said it was 6 to 8 hours of work. Now, mind you, again, they're dating. So they're in a full-blown relationship at this point. And she sent him an email with the hours worked and what it cost and what it took her, the efforts and what she had to do. It was all written down in this invoice that she sends over to him that he's just randomly driving one day and gets an email from her while he's texting her about just like normal life. So it was all. And he asked me if I felt the way about it. And I was like, yeah, if I were you, the fact that she charged me anything, I would feel the way. And I think you need to retroactively go back and charge her for your services as a DJ to knock some of that off, because I knew I had to help him pay for it.
Which were $2,200.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Right. So long story less long, he did not go back and charge her. I'm the kind of person that would have done that. My dude is not. He just took the L. He took it on the chin. He paid her, but it fractured the relationship, obviously. And eventually, they broke up. They didn't break up immediately, but I think the writing was on the wall at that point. So now you fast forward, and this is months beyond them not speaking anymore. I think they literally stopped talking completely because it was one of those, are we dating, are we not things? And then I would say about 2 weeks ago, they stopped talking completely. She wrote him a long text message, pretty much being the victim and putting everything on him and saying that she felt like they should go separate ways. Cool. As life would have it and as the universe would have it, we get to this point where we are trying to sell a product and we need the EPK. So I'm not thinking much of it because I didn't realize how quickly EPKs can become outdated. Like, if you're working on something that's changing daily, then you're selling yourself short if you don't have just like an updated resume. Same thing. And I guess I don't know how these things work, but apparently you can either send it as a fully finished product in which you have it to present it, but you can't update it. Or the smart thing to do is to get the files so that you can go in and manually edit the files and then you can update it yourself without having to create a new EPK. He did not do that.
Oh.
So he does not have the files. He just has the finished product. So at this point, the option has now become we either pay someone else to create a brand new one, even though he already paid all of that money for this one, or you simply go back and ask her to send the files since you already paid her, which would make more sense. But his pride is in the way because he does not want to ask her for anything because she just dumped him.
That's so tough. But here's the thing. You've treated me, if I'm your friend here, she has treated me like I'm a business client. So
I'm going to reciprocate that energy. Like, mm-hmm. even though my pride is going to hurt a little bit, like, if you're going to treat me like a client, I'm going to treat you like a vendor. You know, so I'm going to come to you and say, hey, I need X, Y, and Z for, you know, whatever he's got to do. So, yeah, I mean, you got to swallow your pride because otherwise you're going to be spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, which maybe he can do. But I certainly would rather spend that on, you know, a nice hotel somewhere, a little mm-hmm. vacation.
I'm with Abby.
Yeah.
Go to her.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I would do it. I mean, it seems like an easy thing to do, but right after they dumped you, you got to go, okay, thanks for dumping me, but I need a favor.
Yeah, but I mean, like it's Abby said, though. She clearly True. Looked at it like this is business.
Uh-huh.
So he should look at it like this is business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Abby and Bert. Like, I mean, I get why he doesn't want to reach out. It's uncomfortable, and I respect his sense of pride, but this is business. You paid. You are owed, unless there was something in the contract that you only get final product and you don't get the files. Because sometimes photographers will sometimes give you like some and not all, et cetera, whatever. And as long as it was in the contract or whatever invoice she sent that was part of it, yeah, no, like get what you're due.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm going to try to convince him, man. Yeah. It's not been easy, but hopefully this will help.
The Bert Show.
All right, time for ye old gossip.
Hear ye, hear ye. All Instagram baddies and crypto bros for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you the old gossip.
In celebration of Mother's Day this past Sunday, I figured we could honor one of the worst mothers in history, a woman who had all the money in the world but couldn't buy decent parenting skills to save her life. I'm talking about the Gilded Age's Alva Vanderbilt. Now, if you watch The Gilded Age on HBO, this is actually Carrie Coon's character. Mm-hmm. She doesn't literally play Alva Vanderbilt, but whoever her character is actually based on this woman.
Oh, it's a big nod to her.
It's a big nod. So once upon a time, there was a girl, and by girl, I mean heiress, named Consuelo. So Consuelo was born into the famed Vanderbilt family, one of the richest families in American history in the 19th century. And her mother was, of course, none other than Alva Vanderbilt. And Alva actually named her after her Cuban-American heiress bestie named Consuelo, who had married a British duke, because nothing says I love my child quite like naming her after your richest friend's success story. So as you can see, Alva was less like having a mom and more like having the PR rep from hell. Like I said, the Vanderbilts were filthy rich, and they could buy and build anything you could ever dream of, except for social acceptance. The Vanderbilts were new money, which in the 19th century was a bit like being an influencer on the Met Gala red carpet. Like, you might be richer and more relevant than most of the people here, but you're not the right kind of rich and relevant.
Yeah, old money hated new money back in the day, and they still kind of do.
And since it wasn't enough to just enjoy all the luxuries you could ever want, Alva decided to solve the final piece of her first world problems. So while most people saw Consuelo as Alva's daughter, Alva saw her as a bargaining chip. So Consuelo's an adult, but in 1895, she was living out every eldest daughter's reality. Never being enough for your parents. She was sweet, smart, kind, and fluent in French, charitable, but her mother was still not pleased with her because in the words of Ricky Bobby, if you're not a duchess, you're last. So Consuelo commits the greatest crime you can when you're the only daughter of a delusional 19th century social climber. She fell in love with a normie.
No.
And by a normie, I mean a really, 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 really rich American man.
Now, at this point in time, Bert, all the mothers, American mothers, were shipping their daughters over to Europe to find themselves dukes. And because those dukes were having, like, their coffers were running low, they needed rich American wives to, like, help with their... So it was like a whole...
It's like livestock.
Oh, dude, it was. It was crazy.
It was an exchange. They're like, we're poor but relevant, and you guys are rich and losers. So they created an alliance. Essentially,
I want your money. You want my title. Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal, baby. So she has a crush on this really, 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 really rich American man, which is yuck if you don't have a title. So this is where Alva goes from being controlling and problematic to a DC Comics villain. She looks at her daughter and she's like, girl, Love is temporary. Titles are forever. You're marrying the Duke of Marlborough. So Consuelo was devastated. Not only was her future being controlled by someone with a dictator's conscience, but she was going to be forced into a loveless marriage with someone who had the personality of unsalted butter. What else could Consuelo do except for beg and cry and try to elope with her broke millionaire boyfriend? Alva, of course, is unfazed by any of this. She's like, go ahead and try, girly pop. I'll just ruin your boy toy's reputation. Which doesn't sound that scary until you realize Alba once destroyed an entire socialite at brunch with just eye contact and meringue. So eventually Consuelo gave in. And by gave in, I mean she was locked into her room and coerced into submission, as is tradition. And the wedding day comes and it is a literal nightmare for Consuelo. She fainted on her wedding day, and not from joy, but from like straight up psychological warfare. And Alva, who had the empathy of a tax auditor, just fanned herself and was like, oh my God, perfect. She's skinny and tragic. The guests are going to love it. And just like that, Consuelo became the Duchess of Marlborough. She moved into Blenheim Palace, which sounds like a fairy tale, but it was really just Buckingham Palace. If Buckingham Palace, if everyone inside was deeply repressed and allergic to affection. So it was exactly like Buckingham Palace. And Alva, she was giddy. She had just gotten the job done. Her mission was accomplished. She could wipe her hands clean. And this was going to go down in the history books. All was right in the world. Except for one thing. The marriage didn't last that long. Consuelo ended up getting divorced and ended up marrying someone she actually liked. And you know what? To her credit, Alva did something for Consuelo most kids will never get from their parents. An apology.
What?
She was like, yeah, I really should have rethought the whole child abuse and forcing her into marriage thing. My B. Which I'm sure made up for all the irreparable generational trauma she caused Consuelo.
Right.
After getting served several slices of humble pie, Alva went on a little scavenger hunt to find the audacity, because then Alva became an advocate for women's rights, because there is nothing rich white women love more than performative activism. So next time your mom starts to feel a little bit like a helicopter mom, just remember, it could have been so much worse. You could have been born into insane American wealth at the small cost of having a mother who loved her reputation more than you. Well, happy belated Mother's Day.
Yay.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.